Well, let's start where we should and open up in prayer. Our Father and our God, we're so thankful that we can come and meet like this from all over the place. And Lord, we thank you for Zoom. Lord, we thank you for these studies. Lord, we ask tonight that you would be with me and calm me. And Lord, that you know my insufficiency here. And Lord, we ask that above all, that the Lord Jesus Christ would be glorified and uplifted, and we would all be edified on the things that you've given me to share. So we ask again that that you would oversee this meeting in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I love to read hymns. I love the scriptural depth of the older hymns. The hymn writers wrote as when they contemplated on the Word of God, and they were moved to put those truths into these amazing, lovely poetry. Sometimes they wrote it with the music, sometimes they didn't. In the hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," the third stanza tells of the perfect peace and rest in the fullness of our salvation that we have in Christ. And that's what I'm going to share a little bit about tonight. The fullness of what God has given to us in the Lord Jesus. So keep in mind that word fullness as we go through. Now, what I want to share tonight is really nothing new, but as we enter into the new year, and not only the new year, but as often as we do, it's good to look back and take inventory of all that we've been blessed with of the Lord. So I think what I want to share tonight is summed up in that third verse of that hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness," and it reads like this: "Pardon for sin and this peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine, with 10,000 beside." Every time I read or I sing the words, this is the thought I have. Who could ask for anything more? Who could ask for anything more? I often think it would have been enough had the Lord just saved me from hell, and I use that were just very flippantly, I mean, that's huge. But it would have been enough, and I would be eternally grateful. But he did so much more, and he does so much more. He made me us his child. He brought us into a relationship with him. Think of that. The God of the universe, the creator of everything that exists, a relationship closer than close can be, his child. And that's through the sacrificial and the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It just blows me away. It really does. In John 1:12, it's a very familiar verse that we all know, says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to be called the sons of God," or to the children of God, "even to them that believe on his name." In 1 John 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Wherefore the world knows us not, because it knew him not." Behold, he says, good old King James English, Vine says it means to view attentively with a sense of wonder and regard. Looking at something with interest for a purpose, usually indicating the careful observation of details. Tillman talked about details last week, and that's that word behold, it's amazing that one word can mean all that, huh? But remember when the Lord stilled the wind and the sea? There was a similar phrase that the disciples used. They says, "What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" And so behold, look intently to what manner of love is this that we should be called the children of God. Just blows me away. Anyway, Galatians 4 and verse 6 and 7, we read, "Is because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. So as his child, and as he is our father, you know, we have been given blessings that are given only to sons." Ephesians 1:3, it says, "Blessed be the Father, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly." Blessing, again, you know, Tillman mentioned this last week too about blessing. You know, here the word is eulogy. Anyway, it's the same word we get our word eulogy, eulogio, or something like that. It means to speak well of, to it caused to prosper or to make happy. You know, God has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. He's given unto us all things to be spiritually to spiritually prosper and to be spiritually happy. You know, Peter says in his second epistle, he says, "According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that we might be partakers of divine nature." You know, blessings all mine, with 10,000 beside. Isn't that wonderful? You know, as children, you know, again, it would have been enough just be saved from hell, but to be a child of God, just unfathomable, really. Okay, now here's a list of some of God's blessings. Now, I know there's many more, and there's probably so many more verses that can be cited, but I've chosen these. I really didn't know where to start or where to stop. But I bask in the fullness of these as often as I meditate them. Again, fullness, that word. You know, a lot of these overlap because they're intertwined. So again, I know there's so many more verses that can be cited. Maybe the Lord can give you ones that are not mentioned by me. So, but first, we've been given a deliverance that can never be excelled. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 10, we read this: "Who has delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us, past, present, future." It can never be excelled. You know, the word deliver, I don't know how to pronounce this, R-H-U-O-M-A-I, Rumeo or whatever, but it means to rescue, to save. It's a complete salvation, a full salvation, if you will. He delivered us from the penalty of sin. He's delivering us now from the power of sin. And then one day he will yet deliver us from the very presence of sin. I mean, how much more complete can you get, you know? How can you excel past, present, and future? Forgive me if I have to stand up every once in a while. In Colossians 1, in verse 13 and 14, we read, "Who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." He's delivered us from the power of darkness. You know, we've been delivered. You know, again, so full, so vast, so free. A deliverance that can never be excelled. Now, secondly, an inheritance that can never be lost. In 1 Peter 1, in verses 3 to 5, we read this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." Vine defines inheritance as properly an inherited property, a portion of an estate made by the substance of a gift. You know, our inheritance includes all that we will enjoy in heaven for eternity. And all that is ours that's in Christ. You know, we have an inheritance. You know, fathers leave an inheritance to their children. God has given us an inheritance, if we, you know, being his children. And it's, and Peter says, it's incorruptible, undefiled, and it fades not away, reserved in heaven for you. You know, William MacDonald, he wrote this about inheritance. He says, earthly inheritances are uncertain at best. Sometimes the value of an estate drops sharply because of market declines. Sometimes wills are successfully contested by parties not mentioned in them. Sometimes people are deprived of an inheritance because of legal technicalities. But this divine inheritance is not subject to any change of time, and there's no loopholes in the believer's title to it. It is kept in the safety vault of heaven for the child of God. Isn't that great? Psalm 37 in verse 18, we read, the Lord knows the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Psalm 94 in verse 14, we read, for the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life. So we have an inheritance that can never be lost, because it's God who is giving it. Okay, thirdly, we have a bounty that can never be withdrawn. 1 Corinthians 3, in verses 21 through 23, we read this. Wherefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ's, and Christ is God's. All are ours? You know, someone called this verse an inventory of the possessions of the child of God. He mentions Paul, the evangelist, Apollos, the teacher, Cephas, the pastor, gifts to the church. Sound familiar? In Ephesians 4, you know? He says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God's servants, they're ours. Isn't that amazing? What about the world? You know, Psalm 50 in verse 10 says, for the beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. Psalm 24 in verse 1, it says, the earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and all they that dwell therein. The Lord, you know, the world is his, and it's ours, because we are Christ, and Christ is God's. What about life? Of course, the Lord Jesus says, I am come that they might have life, that they might have it more abundantly. Life in its fullest sense. You know, John 1 says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. You know, he came to give us life. Okay, what about death? I mean, that seems like a strange one. Death, it's no, you know, is no longer a foe. In 1 Corinthians 15:55, in regarding the resurrection, it says, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? And things present, things to come. Well, that goes back to our inheritance again. All are ours? Yes, because we are Christ's and Christ is God's. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a hard time wrapping my mind around all this. That it's a bounty that it can never be withdrawn. Okay, fourthly, it's a grace that can never be limited. In 2 Corinthians 9:8, we read this. Listen how the wording to this verse is. I'll try to emphasize it in my voice. It says, God is able to make all grace abound, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound in every good work. Isn't that wonderful? There is no limit to his grace. You know, this thought is brought out in John 1:16, in the words, you know, it says, "And of his fullness have we all received, and grace for grace." There's a quote by a Bishop Moule, I think it's how you pronounce it, Moule or Moule or however you pronounce it. But I thought this was so good. He says this. He says, "Grace for grace. What does that mean?" Quite literally, the words run grace instead of grace. The image is one of perpetual supply, a displacement and replacement ever going on, ceaseless arrivals of all that is needed for the ceaseless changes of need and demand. The picture is that of a river. Stand on its banks and contemplate its flow. A minute passes and then another. Is it the same stream? Yes, it's the same stream that ran ages ago in our forefathers' sight, but not the same water. The liquid mass that flowed under the bridge a few seconds ago has been displaced and replaced, water instead of water. Even so, the believer's life, in that derived fullness, again, there's that word, which is the secret of plenty and peace, our incomes, it comes instead of our, joy instead of joy, trial and pain and loss instead of other like things of yesterday. So also with the supply, successions and exchanges of strength and blessing, grace takes the place of grace, ever new, ever old, ever the same, ever fresh and young, and on through life until grace blossoms into glory. The idea of grace as something that is stored up is thus negative. No need to economize in it. No fear of the stream running dry. It floweth ever for the soul that is in contact with the eternal source. I thought that was so good. You know, the analogy of that stream, you know, grace instead of grace. You know, the hymn writer captures this thought of this Bishop Buell really well. He says this. He says, "He giveth more grace when the burdens grow greater. He sends more strength when the labors increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. When we have exhausted our storage of endurance, when our strength has failed ere the day is half done, when we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power no boundary known unto men, for out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again." Isn't that beautiful? Grace that can never be limited. And then fifth, a joy that need never be diminished. Pay attention to the wording that I had written there. John 15:11 says, "These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." There's that word full again. In 1 John 1:4, we read, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled, the word of life. For life was manifest, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, we declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write unto you, that your joy may be full." There's that word full again. You know, there's a difference between joy and happiness. Now, again, Tilvin spoke about blessing meaning happiness last week. And it's true. You know, and it's synonymous with blessing. But, you know, interestingly enough, though, you know, joy is often associated with trials, but not always. But oftentimes in the scripture, joy is associated with trials. But like in 1 John, you know, sometimes earthly circumstances can disrupt happiness. But joy is inward. In 1 John, it's a joy that's associated with our relationship and our fellowship with the Father and his Son, that gives us a deep-seated joy that cannot be disturbed by earthly circumstances. Our happiness might get disturbed, but our joy in the Lord cannot if we are in fellowship with him. You notice that I said it's a joy that need never be diminished. This is conditional, you know, because sin can rob us of our joy. You know, David said in Psalm 51, he says this, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. So joy, it's a joy that need never be diminished. Sin can rob us of our joy. Right, sixth, it's a peace that need never be forfeited. It's another blessing that's conditional. You know, peace is ours for the taking. It's the Lord's peace. It's when we fail to trust him that we get anxious and we lose that peace really that is ours. In John 14:27, the Lord says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you, not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Philippians, very, very familiar verse to us all. It says, be careful for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace shall be with you. It's conditional. Think on these things. John 16:33, the Lord says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. You know, it's his peace that he gives. It's not just peace. In a world that's hostile to God and the things of God, we really need his peace. You know, many things come into our life, you know, that can really turn our world upside down. And it's his peace that we find in him, in his word, that gets us through. You know, I could give you my experience on this when my world got turned upside down years ago, but I won't. but all I can tell you, if it weren't for the peace of God, his peace, the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that only he gives, and that's through his word and the relationship with him, I'm sure I would have not survived. I mean, I can identify with the disciples in the boat when they were getting tossed to and fro on the water, and they saw the Lord coming walking on the water. You know, and they were terrified, you know, but then they heard those words, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. What words of comfort, huh? Be of good cheer, it's me, don't be afraid. Again, the hymn writer, like a river glorious is God's perfect peace, over all victorious in its bright increase. Perfect yet it floweth, fuller every day. Perfect yet it groweth, deeper all the way. Hidden in the hollow of his blessed hand, never foe can follow, never traitor stand. Not a surge of worry, not a shade of care, not a blast of hurry. Touch the spirit there. Every joy or trial falleth from above, traced upon our dial by the Son of Love. We may trust him fully, all for us to do. They who trust him wholly find him wholly true. Stayed upon Jehovah, hearts are fully blessed, finding as you promise, perfect peace and rest. We have a peace that need never be forfeited. And then a hope that can never be disappointed. Hebrews 6 and verse 17 through 20, we read, wherein God willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it with an oath, that by two immutable things in which is it impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is set before us, which hope we have as an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that which is within the veil, where the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made a high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. In Titus 1:2, it says, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Psalm 39, in verses 4 through 7, we read this. He says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. Behold, thou hast made my days as a handbreadth, and my age is nothing before thee. Verily, every man had his best state is altogether vanity. Surely every man walketh in a vain show. Surely are disquieted in vain. He heapeth up riches and knoweth not who shall gather them. And now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is in thee. 1 Peter 1:3, we read, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And Titus 2:13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. John 14, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. That's that blessed hope. 1 Thessalonians expands on this when the Lord says, I would not have you ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so then that also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For we say this unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain to the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and when the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive shall remain shall be caught up together with him to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is our hope. He is our hope. When we shall see him, you know, face to face, that's the blessed hope that, you know, that we read in Titus. Sim writer says, when all my labors and trials are o'er, and I am safe on that beautiful shore, just to be near the dear Lord I adore, will through the ages be glory for me. When by the gift of its infinite grace, I am accorded in heaven a place, just to be there and to look on his face, will through the ages be glory for me. Friends will be there I've loved long ago, joy like a river around me will flow, yet just a smile from my Savior, I know, will through the ages be glory for me. Oh, that will be glory for me, glory for me, glory for me, when by his grace I shall look on his face. That will be glory for me. A hope that I'll never be disappointed. That's the list I have, but you know, one more thing. All this and more stems from the heart of God who loves us. Try to figure that out. I can't with my mind, but he lets me know with my heart, by his spirit, through his word. So full, so vast, so free, who could ask for anything more? Who could ask for anything more? You know, the first words that I spoke at the beginning were, I love to read hymns. Can you tell? But I want to conclude just one more time with this one stanza from the hymn, He Hideth My Soul, which I think speaks of all the fullness here and the blessings that have been mentioned. It says, with numberless blessings, each moment he crowns, and filled with his fullness divine, I sing in my rapture, O glory to God, for such a Redeemer is mine.
Well, thank you, Joe. We've got so much, and we can't enter into all of it, but the more we enter into, the more we rejoice that the Lord wants to bless us and draw us closer to himself. I often think one of the greatest blessings is that we can enter into the holiest of all anytime we want. We don't have to go to a priest, going in only once a year. No, not anymore. We can enter into the very presence of God whenever we have something on our heart. And I think it's not only when we have something that we have a need for, but sometimes I think that God gets a lot of pleasure just going into his presence and telling him of our appreciation of Christ and what he's done. There's just a few thoughts there. I'm sure others might have some things they'd like to add to that.
You know, you talk about hymns, Joe. After last week, I was lying in bed thinking, and I thought, I meant to tell him this verse of the hymn. And I think it was of the Spirit of God that I didn't, because now it goes, part of it goes right in with what you're saying. But with what I was talking about, he says, O Christ, he is the fountain, the deep, sweet well of love, the streams on earth I've tasted, more deep I'll drink above. There too an ocean fullness, his mercy doth expand, and glory, glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. Mm-hmm. You know, just unbelievable, you know. And when you talked about fullness, I think of Colossians. You know, the Bible says that God, it was his will that all fullness dwell in him, in Christ, in bodily form, right? And later on, it says we get that fullness. Now you say, how can we get more? We have God living within us. You know, this is something I've been trying to explain to a Catholic girl. And she hasn't quite grasped it. She has faith, and she's told me that's what she's trusting in, is her faith in Christ. But they're taught about zero, about a relationship with God. And you talk about fullness. You say, how can you expect any? Well, we get it all, you know, by having the Spirit of God, and now he's going to teach us all these things. And you've been quoting verse after verse and hymn after hymn that are telling us the incredible, unexplainable things that we can't wait to see. You know, Jeff, in his message on Sunday, he was talking about all the one things. And he said his favorite, and I'm sorry, it's my favorite too. So Jeff, sorry, you got to get another favorite. It's my favorite, you know. One thing I desire, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever, you know, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. Every single man of God, when you look at, they wanted to see the Lord. And the way you're talking, and in the hymns too, just to see him, that's going to be it. Thanks. Really appreciate it, Joe. That's great. Really encouraging. Oh, I had to mention this too, because I told the others, we just rushed from a friend's house. And you talk about joy. They've had a son-in-law who's really been a pain. And just this week, he called them and said he found Christ. Mm-hmm. He was apologizing him. And he says, and he actually told me some things that he'd done against me that I didn't know. He goes, I kind of had a hard time dealing with that. But it's just amazing. within 1 week, their whole relationship has changed because of Christ and him, you know. And this is a guy who was our friends. He just lives a few miles south of us. We get together every once in a while. And he was a Mr. Nebraska twice, you know, he power lifter. And he helps guys at a gym here. And he's leading guys to Christ in the weight room. I mean, and he said just this week, he said, Tillman, the Holy Spirit was all he was telling Beth and I, because this other guy was, who's not a believer, several now have trusted the Lord that he was working with. And he said, this other guy goes, oh yeah, you're fake Jesus. He goes, and the Holy Spirit was telling me, don't say anything. Don't say anything, you know, and he said, he goes, we're not going to drive him away. But anyways, that real joy that another one saved for the Lord, and it's changed everything. So.
Amen.
Yeah, cool.
Daryl, did you have something you wanted to share with us?
Well, the only thing I was thinking of is, Joe, at the beginning of your meeting, you quoted, great is thy faithfulness. And you went on to show how faithful he is in all these different things, including grace and joy, peace and hope, and all these things. And so it made me think of where it's quoted in Scripture, you know, great is thy faithfulness, in Lamentations. Of all places, in Lamentation, which is kind of a down chapter, it's a chastening, judgments, Lamentations, of course. And in that chapter, in chapter 3, it says, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions or his love fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him. And then it says, the Lord is good.
Yes. Thank you, Daryl. David Hammond, did you have any thoughts you'd like to share with us?
Yes, but I have something about music, and I just was looking for it. I wrote it down. It's profound. But my brain doesn't remember anything, and I can't find it. So you'll have to let it go. Thank you.
Daniel Tellori, good to see you tonight. Daniel Lewis, you have any thoughts for us?
Not really. I mean, the last one you talked about, there is the hope, and it made me think of Hebrews chapter 12. It talks a lot about the hope in that chapter, but the two things that kind of stand out to me are the lift up the hands that hang down. It's so easy for us to look around and get discouraged, but that hope will actually give us strength for going through tribulations and whatever is coming. But the way it ends says that we're looking for that kingdom that cannot be moved. Things down here, you know, like you're saying, joy doesn't necessarily mean happiness, but we have that unchanging hope that, you know, is ours, and it won't be moved. It won't be one of these things that, you know, how like you see these cats will chase like a light on the floor or something like that. It keeps moving. But this, it is not going to move. It's going to be there for us when we get there, and it will be ours. We have a solid hope.
The verse I thought of too, Joe, when you said a lot of times joy is associated with trial, I mean, is James, right? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you endure various trials. Mm-hmm. I mean, because God is working a work. You can't take it away. You know, same thing. All these things you're talking about, they can never not be there. They can never, ever, ever, ever go away. We have them. Present tense, we have them. In Christ.
Grace upon grace, blessing upon blessing. It never ends, does it? Can't help but think that the more we come to appreciate Christ, the more we'll see of those things that God has blessed us with. And what pleasure the Father gets when we're enjoying the things that he's given to us, especially when we have precious thoughts about his Son. I think I'll quote a hymn too. Glory, Lord, is thine forever. Ever thine, thou art the Son. Great the glory thou art given. Great the glory thou hast won. Great the glory and the splendor of the holy heavenly place. Greater far the Godhead glory shining in the Savior in thy face. Lord of glory, thou didst enter this dark world of sin and woe. Veil thy glory, yet 'twas witnessed by thine own while here below. Thou didst die, and now we praise thee in thy glory, Lord above. For in death thou hast declared all the fullness of God's love. Yes, we see thee crowned with glory, highest honor to thee given, but the glory of thy person is the light that shines in heaven. Thou art greater, glorious Savior, than the glory thou hast won. This the greatness of thy glory, ever blessed, thou art the Son.
Amen.
So, one thing I noticed about inheritance, I'm not sure if this is, I don't know what the thought is here, but reading through Hebrews, it says that he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than the angels. So his name is an inheritance too. I never had thought about it that way before.
Hebrews?
Yeah, Hebrews chapter 1, yes. And verse 4.
Thank you.
I'm not sure what to make of it, but it struck me as I was reading it. Well, that's an inheritance I hadn't thought of before.
Yeah.
Yes, an inheritance is something you don't earn. It's something given by the one who wants to give. It seems like the Lord might have a few names. Some he's earned, but some is given just because of who he is.
A son.
Yes. Well, I wonder what name he's going to give us. They're not always sure what that new name is, a name above every name. I like to think it's the name of Jesus, but maybe even something else. I don't know for sure. Yeah. Well, I appreciate your comments, Joe, your meditation. It's been a pleasure. It's really thankful that if you were up to taking it tonight, appreciate it.
Thank you, Joe.
Okay, well, let's just close then in a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank thee for the God that you are. We thank thee for all the blessings you bestow upon us, Lord. It is truly from a heart of love, and you bestow it upon us by the riches of your grace. Lord, we don't deserve any of this. No wonder David says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Lord, we wonder that within ourselves. At least I do. Lord, I don't deserve anything that you've bestowed upon me. Yet, even as our brother has quoted that verse, your mercies and your compassions are new every morning. Yeah. Every morning they're new. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you for just who you are. what you've done in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. We again thank you for tonight. Thank you for helping me, Lord, in this. Yes, thank you for the comments that were made, Lord. Lord, so we lift up all our brothers here and thank you for them and pray for the ones who couldn't make it tonight. And Lord, and we bless your holy name, Father. We bless your holy name in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.